Low Saturnalia. For those naive out there of every creed, country, nationality, ethnicity, etc., you may not know about Saturnalia because they have kept it obscured within halls of academia and in the ostracized occult communities. That before long ago couldn't easily access the public with this information. Although those adepts, the lumined among you who have gone from dark to light, know all too full well that this society, as all European and Western societies, and especially all English-speaking societies, are founded on Roman and Phoenician religions, symbolism, and holidays that make up their calendar, that create the chronology of the secret elite . One only has to search hashtag Saturnalia across Twitter, or now X, or hashtag Saturnalia across Instagram to see that it is remarkably celebrated far and wide amongst celebrities, those in the fashion industry, academics, artists, etc. The very same that keeps circles with the Marina Abramovich's and the Rothschild family tree, that also flaunt their parties, the red shoe collections, the taste for fried fish, adrenochrome, etc., etc., etc. It is up there with that type of symbolic old meets new. The ancient is now the elite. Reasoning and mindset and the culture that we actually find ourselves in, the reality that we find ourselves, you know, being like having to make sense of. So, let's get into it. Let's explain what Saturnalia is. And then expose Saturnalia's cultural continuance. You know, via open source intelligence, OpSint, available on the World Wide Web. But I'll tell you my sources, of course. Because I want you to know that none of what I say is my creation. Everything I say is simply telling you the truth. And knowing how you already feel about it, if you are a listener of the Beyond Top Secret Texas broadcast, if you support the Beyond Top Secret Texas broadcast, as well as if you're awake to the realities of the world, the battle grounds, the battle zone that we are now living in, and the forces that are fighting each other in that war zone, spiritually, historically, psychologically, physically. So I'll let you make your own decisions. That is your freedom of choice to do so. But know that we are here at the Beyond Top Secret Texas broadcast. We believe in a higher power. We know for certain there is. So belief is not the right word. We know for certain there is a one and true God, an only God. And so we say this through clenched teeth. But know that it is important to read the beliefs of our enemies, to know their culture, to know their ways, to know their beliefs, to know them like we know ourselves, so that we may counter and defeat them when we meet them. So let's study the enemy. Let's know the enemy. Io Saturnalia. This is written and published in World History Encyclopedia, sponsored by World History Encyclopedia. This is a blog called followinghadrian.com. Included are archaeological travels, portraits of the Emperor Hadrian, portraits of Sabina, Hadrian's personal travels, the Hadrian 1900 Project, Hadrian's Villa, portraits of Antonus, documentaries, lectures, my collection of Hadrian coins, etc., etc. It's a personal blog, but it is sponsored by the World History of Encyclopedia and a project known as Following Hadrian, the Emperor Hadrian. Spit upon that. Io Saturnalia. Happy Saturnalia. December 17th marked the beginning of Saturnalia, celebrated on December 17th, one of the most popular festivals of ancient Rome. The midwinter celebrations lasted for several days. The number changed through the Roman era, and it was a time of feasting, partying, playing games, gift-giving, and role reversals, where slave became master for the day, and masters became servants for the day. It was the merriest festival of the year, and all work and business were suspended. Saturnalia originated as a farmer's festival to mark the end of autumn planting season in honor of Saturnus. Despite Livy's claim that the festival was established in 496 BC, there is evidence that it began much, much earlier. Originally, the festival was celebrated on a single day, on the 14th before the calends of January, known now, in our chronology, the Gregorian calendar, as December 19th. But it was later extended to 3 days of celebrations. With the Julian reform of the calendar, Saturnalia was celebrated 16 days before the calends of January, this moving it to our December 17th. However, by the end of the Roman Republic, the festival was so popular that it expanded to cover a full week's worth of celebrations. The Emperor Augustus shortened it to a 3-day holiday during his reign, but Caligula later extended it to 5 days. According to Macrobius, the celebration of Saturnalia was extended with the Sigillaria on the 10th day before the calends, December 23rd, on our calendar. So named for the small terracotta figurine sold in Roman shops and given as gifts to children, Saturnalia was best described by the 1st century AD poet Gaius Valerius Catullus as the best of days It was undoubtedly the most popular holiday in the Roman calendar. Sound familiar? Saturnalia, which is also the worship, which is both the worship of Saturn, Kronos, which we have Christianized, remember, into Satan, the enemy of our one true God and his prophets, if you follow the Abrahamic religious tradition. I will just leave it at that. But yes, Saturnalia obviously is a celebration of Saturn, but Saturnalia were small gifts of the ornaments, figurines, action figures, toys created of the gods that were sold in common marketplaces and given as gifts to children. Saturnalia, like Christmas, is celebrated with the mass production, sell, purchase, and gifting of gifts, toys, action figures, dolls, etc. to children, typically by parents or loved ones, for their winter Saturn idol worship. This was extremely popular, and the festivities of the winter were as popular as Christmas is today. Saturnus, who gave his name to the festival, was regarded as the chief of Roman gods. The Romans equated him with the Greek agricultural deity Kronos. Exiled from Olympus by Zeus, Saturnus ruled Latium in a happy and innocent golden age, a time when peace, harmony, and prosperity prevailed. Depictions of the god in surviving art show him as a bearded man wearing a veil and brandishing a sickle or a scythe, the symbols of his agricultural function. This is also known now as the Grim Reaper, by the way. A cloaked figure carrying a scythe. I would also like to point out that they omitted a lot of details as to why Kronos was kicked out of heaven by Zeus. Focusing more on a ruling of a golden age. One of the few times I will agree that the Greek pantheon was far more accurate in terms of ethical behavior than in the Romans. In Rome, the celebrations began with a sacrifice at the Temple of Saturnus, located at the western end of the Forum Romanum, and thought to be the oldest Roman temple in existence. Following the sacrifice, a lectisternum was held by placing the deity's image on a sumptuous couch known as a lectus, with tables and offerings before him, as if Saturnus was partaking of the things offered in sacrifice personally and participating in the festivities. So they basically would commit a sacrifice, doesn't say if it's human or not, but a sacrifice of, some kind of bull, maybe. Some kind of creature would be killed for this false idol, Saturnus, and then a statue would be placed on a couch, and they would have dinner next to the statue, the holy ruling class and the priests, because they thought it would be like if Saturn was there eating with them. I would like to point that out. So this is like leaving out milk and cookies, for example, for Santa Claus. Or think of the ham dinners and great feasts that Christmas always is accompanied by. The cult of Saturnus was usually tied together with wool throughout the year. But during its festivities, it was freed from its chains as an act of liberation. A public banquet would follow called the Convivium Publicum. After the official rituals, the celebrants would go out to the streets and shout the holiday greetings, Io Saturnalia, or Lo Saturnalia. It was followed by several days of feasting and fun. We have again another modern tradition from the past. Santa Claus, stuff, decorations, etc., colorings, the tree, lights, all of that is kept in storage, tied up, boxed away until the holiday festivals, where it is ceremoniously brought out, the Christmas tree, the ornaments, the lights, everything, the stockings, the candy cane crap, all the lawn bullshit, put out with great celebration and fanfare amongst the houses of all castes in America. For it is an act of liberation where they can officially showcase and declare their worship of Santa Claus. I mean Saturnalia. I mean Satan. I mean Moloch. I mean Baal. I mean Ashtaroth. I mean Pandemonium. I mean Kronos. I mean Saturn. The worship of this red-clad, timeless, immortal figure that is both a time of sacrifice and prosperity for children of all ages, the young and the young at heart. Hadrian is wearing the Pallium, as pictured in many frescoes of the time. A red cap, like Santa. This was a tradition during the festival. Freedmen traditionally wore these pointy red hats, known as a Phrygian cap. But during Saturnalia, all men, regardless of free or bond, wore the pallium in public. Hadrian is set among the foliage here in this bust, and it's a picture of an idol, a false idol of the Emperor Hadrian. Spit upon that idol. Holy, sacred to Saturn are the pine leaves, pine as in Christmas trees, the decorative candles, as in Christmas lights, and the image of God Saturn, as an angel on a tree. During the winter festival, Romans decorated their homes with greenery, like wreaths and garlands of evergreen branches bearing red berries, such as mistletoe. And these were hung proudly over doorways and windows. Images of Saturn were placed around an altar, and candles were lit around the house. On feast days, suckling pigs were sacrificed to the god aplenty. Every house had fresh hams and pork. as if though Saturn was a guest of honor amongst even the lowest castes. In addition to the large-scale public feast of the Temple of Saturnus, there was lots of eating and drinking at home. Slaves were often welcome to join in. All schools were closed, and most businesses were suspended. Dress codes were relaxed, and the whole population ditched the traditional toga in favor of something more relaxed and comfortable. Men and women would dress in brightly colored tunics, often called synthesis, meaning put together, stitched from different garments, and a rather festive and harlequinade clownish outfit. This would create a carnivalesque atmosphere, short of costume parties. Children would play at home with each other and receive toys as gifts. This is fucking Christmas. When they say slave and bond and freedman, they are saying employer and employee. That employers would throw Christmas parties and their employees were welcome to drink with them as friends in a casual environment without the pretext of work, authority, and formality. And every Christmas in England, America, Canada, Japan, across the fucking world, Christmas parties are going to be held this month where workers, managers, CEOs, employee, human resource officers, etc., 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 are going to be rubbing shoulders, drinking, eating cake, eating snacks, dancing, probably having affairs, letting themselves be human without the authority and the rigor of workplace discipline, controlling how they really feel. There will be fights. There always are. There will be disasters. People quit their jobs. People have breakdowns. People snub each other. People really see how they feel about each other during Christmas because they are getting fucked up and drunk together. People get fucking terribly drunk on Christmas, especially at work parties. You know how many blowjobs are going to happen this month during work parties between awkwardly flirty coworkers that will never talk about it again? You know how many people are going to cheat on their spouses this Christmas because they get to hang out with their coworkers and have a few drinks after work and the wife isn't expecting them home until about 9 o'clock, so they just sneak away into a car? This shit is Saturnalia. This shit happens. The mask drops and sin, full behavior, is celebrated as a chance to have a little Christmas fun. And it goes all the way up to the top and all the way down to the bottom of the social ladder. Think about Eyes Wide Shut. Eyes Wide Shut is set in Christmas. It's not a Christmas movie where the focus of the movie is the Christmas day. It is just set during December. Christmas lights abound. The winter is very prominent. It's cold as fuck. Everyone's wearing a coat. They go to several different Christmas parties along the Christmas year, the season. It's expected to go out, and you go out almost every night to different social functions, etc. It's because Saturnalia is celebrated on the 17th, which is the middle of December. So the orgy that he goes to is a Saturnalia orgy. It is a celebration of Saturnalia and the Eyes Wide Shut film. And if you see their bedroom, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman's bedroom, they are celebrating Kabbalah. They have a 5-candle menorah with red candles and a black candlestick and a picture of a tree of life. This is the Romanized Judaism of what we are celebrating here. the lighting of candles, and the celebration of trees and greenery, which is sacred to the agricultural false idol of Saturn. In essence, the entire film is a ritual to Saturnalia, where roles are reversed and sin is celebrated in the bleak, moralist worldview of the 1990s, the nihilistic worldview of the 1990s. But it has been going on since the Romans and even before that, stretching on as a cursed nightmare that we cannot wake up from, one in the same of history. But I digress. In addition to the large-scale public feasts of the Temple of Saturnus, there was lots of eating and drinking at home, and slaves were allowed to join. Oh, sorry, put that together. Saturnalia also saw the inversion of social roles. For example, slaves were permitted to dine with their masters and even demanded to be served by them. Like if you go to your boss's house for dinner and you sat down and you expected him to cook for you because it's his house. It's not fucking rocket science. This is just how people be like, hey, yeah, my boss invited me to dinner. Your slave is treating you like the servant. Oh, you, what? These people are fucking weird. Exactly. How do they, why do they put that in that language? It's because they want you to make that, they want you to think that there's no connection between you and ancient Rome in the year 500 BC. They don't want you to think that there is no similarity to daily life in America to 2,000 years ago in pagan Rome, even though it's the exact same, literally the exact same lifestyle. Adults would also serve children. Yeah, like the kids' table. The kids... What? Like... What? When do adults don't serve children? When do children serve themselves? People would wear a cap of freedom called the pallium, usually worn by slaves who had been set free. The pointy Phrygian cap. Slaves were ordinarily not entitled to wear the pallium, also wore it so that everyone enjoyed the same status. It was a time of free speech. The poet Horace called it December Liberty. And slaves were even allowed to disobey a command without punishment. Instead of working, slaves could spend their time playing dice and other games, drinking, feasting, and enjoying themselves. Normally forbidden, gambling and dice playing in public were permitted for all during Saturnalia. Children usually used nuts as gambling tokens, while adults used coins. During my week, the series is barred. No business allowed. Drinking and being drunk only. Noise and games and dice. Appointing of kings and feasting of slaves. Singing and naked. Clapping of tremulous hands. An occasional ducking of corked faces into icy water. Such are the functions over which I preside. Emperor Lucian, Volume 4, Saturnalia. On the first day of Saturnalia, a Saturnalicious Principess was appointed among the whole household by throwing dice. The king of Saturnalia presided over this and could command people to do things like prepare a banquet or sing a song. According to Tacitus, the young Nero played that role and mockingly commanded his younger stepbrother Britannicus to sing. The last day of Saturnalia was a day of gift-giving when wax candles and small clay figurines, the Sigillaria, this was celebrated on December 23rd of our calendar, were exchanged as gifts. Other presents could be given too. In his many poems about Saturnalia, Martial names both expensive and cheap gifts, including writing tablets, dice, knuckle bones, money boxes, combs, toothpicks, a hat, a lyre, hunting knives, oil lamps, perfumes, pipes, A pig.
You're literally throwing out $6,400 if you don't claim this free benefit.
A parrot. A priapus made pastry. Wine cups and spoons. Emperor Augustus was particularly fond of gag gifts, while Hadrian often surprised his friends with sentimental presents. At the Saturnalia and the Sigillaria, Hadrian often surprised his friends with personal presents, and he gladly received gifts from them and again gave others in return. That's a quote from the Historia Augusta, The Life of Hadrian. Not everyone embraced the spirit of Saturnalia, though. Pliny the Younger reveled in a letter that was not much a merrymaker and said, "When I retire to this garden summer house, I fancy myself 100 miles away from my villa and take special pleasure in it at the feast of the Saturnalia, when, by the license of that festive season, every other part of my house resounds with my servants' mirth, and thus I neither interrupt their amusement nor they my studies." And going back just quickly, I wanted to remember and point out that this idea that Saturnalia, the gift giving, the Sigillaria, was celebrated on December 23rd. In my household, for example, and I know many others, it's like kind of like half and half. People traditionally give their gifts to their children, or allow their children to open up their gifts early, because, you know, like the idea of waiting, it's just fucking like weird. Once you actually have the gifts and they're there and they're in the box, and I'm not saying these people know what Saturnalia even is, I'm just saying the human cultural, anthropological, you know, everyday person, children and parents of all age, you know, all generations, decades, etc. There is a cultural tradition in America, at least, that you open up your gifts early, sometimes one a night for the first week if you have a lot of little ones, or if you have, like, say, a big one and you already know it's like a PlayStation or whatever, the kids are home, you know, you're home, what the day that, kind of like the, typically the first day the adult is home from work. Like, he's got a Christmas break, or, you know, the mom's got a Christmas break or something for, like, the week of Christmas. That little vacation time they saved up. They'll open up the gifts so they can enjoy them. We know Santa Claus isn't real. That's the thing, like, once the kids don't give a shit about the whole, like, oh, Santa Claus is coming down the chimney, and we gotta do a secret ritual and put the gifts out and trick our kids. If it's just like, no, I bought you this game, I bought you an Xbox, here, play the Xbox. It's like, yeah, you can open that shit up, like, on the 20th, on the 23rd. Christmas Eve, that's really popular. People open up their Christmas gifts on Christmas Eve. This is 100%, I guess, in keeping of the Sigillaria of Saturnalia. And that's something that I just realized, and I wanted to point out when I was reading it. It's unintentionally following the same behavior that created these holidays, or was practiced in these holidays. It literally is history repeating itself unintentionally. Two days after the end of Saturnalia, on December 25th, the Romans observed the birthday of a major imperial deity. This one named Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun god, whose resurgence on the winter solstice initiated the daily increase in the hours of sunlight. Over the last few years, and this guy goes on to talk about how he organizes banquets. And he shows pictures of the actual food with wine, freshly baked bread, grapes, dates, quiches, sweetbreads, soups. There's apparently some soups. There's a roasted piece of meat. Is that a roasted big cut of meat, fruit? And it says, "Io Saturnalia," after showing all the photos. And that was sponsored by the World History Encyclopedia. So it is. So he knows what he's talking about, as well as someone who is at least a Roman fanboy and at most a professor actually being studied, actually archaeologically studying, you know, Rome, anthropologically studying Rome. So, we now go into another page. This is from Encyclopedia Britannica. Just talking about what Saturnalia is. Saturnalia, Roman festival. Saturnalia is the most popular of Roman festivals. Dedicated to the Roman god Saturn, the festival's influence continues to be felt throughout the Western world. Originally celebrated on December 17th, Saturnalia was extended first to 3 and eventually to 7 days. The date has been connected with the winter sowing season, which in modern Italy varies from October to January. Remarkably like the Greek Cronia, it was the liveliest festival of the year. All work and business were suspended. Slaves were given temporary freedom to say and do what they liked, and certain moral restrictions were eased. The streets were infected with a Mardi Gras madness. A mock king was chosen, known as the Saturnalicious Princeps. The season greetings, Io Saturnalia, was heard everywhere. The closing days of Saturnalia were known as Sigillaria because of the custom of making toward the end of the festival presents of candles, wax models of fruit, and waxen statuettes, which were fashioned by the Sigillari, are manufacturers of small figures in wax and other media. The cult statue of Saturn himself, traditionally bound in the feet with woolen bands, was untied, presumably to come out and join the fun. The influence of the Saturnalia upon the celebrations of Christmas and the New Year has been direct and undeniable. The fact that Christmas was celebrated on the birthday of the unconquered sun, known as Dies Solis Invicti Nati, gave the season a solar background, connected with the calends of January, known as January 1st, the Roman New Year. Wonder what our New Year is? January 1st. A Roman New Year. When houses were decorated with greenery and lights, presents were given to children and the poor. Concerning the gift candles, the Romans had a story that an old prophecy bade the earliest inhabitants of Latium send heads to Hades and Fota to Saturn. The ancient Latins interpreted this to mean human sacrifices. But according to legend, Hercules advised using lights. From his translation, faus meaning light, but in the ancient Latin language, faus meaning man, as in mankind, according to their dialect. This was a story that was often told in celebration of Hercules. This is unique in that it's not focusing on his great strength, but rather his cunning. And his odd humanitarianism, choosing instead to celebrate with light instead of human heads. And that just gives you a... That's it. That's the article. And that just ends on a small, kind of funny story, right? Like, it's supposed to be funny, like, the way they say that. Like, oh, no, the earliest inhabitants of Latium, which would become Rome, you know, the Romans, the Etruscans, they would send human heads down to hell. To appease a death god and to re-begin the new year. The ancient Latins, which were known as the Etruscans, would use this practice of human sacrifice for Christmas and the winter solstice. But according to legend, the hero and demigod Hercules convinced them to use lights, torches, and lanterns, which would later become Christmas tree lights, ornaments, you know, baubles, and things like that, to celebrate this death cult, this death god of time, Saturn, Hades, whatever it would be, and not actual human sacrifice. And that began the creation of Rome and Saturnalia. This next article is from Getty.edu. That's right, Getty.edu. Infamous, I know, scandalous. We'll see what the enemy has to say. The wild holiday that turned ancient Rome upside down. How the Romans celebrated Saturnalia. Topics: ancient life. Happy Saturnalia, it says. This ancient Roman holiday honors Saturn, the god of sowing seeds, and celebrates the promise of a spring harvest. Originally just one day over the centuries, the festivities grew to last a whole week, starting on December 17th. And coinciding with the winter solstice. In Rome, the holiday was kicked off with a religious ceremony in the Temple of Saturn, followed by a free public banquet open to all. Businesses and law courts were closed so everyone could take part. While the Roman poet Statius attended Emperor Domitius' Saturnalia Fest in the late 1st century AD, he left his 5-star review. Who can sing of the spectacle, the unrestrained mirth, the banqueting, the unbought feast, the lavish streams of wine? Ah, now I faint, and drunken with thy liquor, drag myself a last to sleep. During Saturnalia, a time of jovial merrymaking, many social norms were relaxed and inverted. Gambling, normally outlawed, was allowed in public. According to some accounts, you were only supposed to gamble for nuts, not money, to recreate the golden age of Saturn. Knucklebones, known as Tali or Astragalia, in Greek, were used for games of chance. They could be rolled like dice or played like jacks. As their name implies, they were originally made for the foot bones of goat or sheep, easily accessible and cheap, and carved with letters and numbers. They were later fashioned from all sorts of materials like wood, stone, terracotta, and also fancier mediums like translucent glass, bronze, gold, ivory, and precious gems. These deluxe knucklebones, pictured below, do not go together, but numerous examples have been found across the Roman Empire and are frequently depicted in painting and sculpture, suggesting the widespread popularity of the game. In one ancient account, the god Saturn was featured describing the festival. Everywhere there is clapping and singing and playing games, everyone, slave and free man, is held as good as his neighbor. He says, during the holiday week, a time of role reversal, enslaved people could attend banquets and were celebrated with gifts and wine. Strict Roman dress codes were also overturned. Instead of the formal and unwieldy togas, Romans of all ranks would put on a synthesis, a comfortable and colorful dinner dress that was normally reserved for private dinner parties. And everyone would wear the freedman's cap, a conical felt hat awarded to freed slaves to celebrate the liberty and free spirit of the holiday. In another topsy-turvy tradition, households would appoint a mock king or lord of misrule to reign over everyone and give silly orders like telling someone to shout embarrassing insults to another, dance naked for everyone in public, or chase others around the house, usually in a lewd manner. Along with drinking, feasting, and gambling, exchanging gifts was a popular Saturnalia tradition. The Roman poet Martial described something like a white elephant gift exchange. At this time of the year, he says, when the equestrians and senators show off their party clothes and even the emperor wears a freedman's cap, accept the gifts you have drawn from the bag, rather from a poor or a rich man. Let everyone give his gifts as guests as appropriate. Martial wrote epigrams, short satirical poems, for the many possible gifts of Saturnalia. Everything from fattened pigs, incense, turtle doves, glass cups, ivory knuckle bones, lamps, clay statuettes, and, to name a few, horses, for a gold hairpin, for example. Marshall writes, that your oiled tresses may not be injured, your splendid silk dresses not ripped, let this pin fix your twisted hair and keep it up. Gold rings are also included on Marshall's gift list. In ancient Rome, such rings had special meaning. During the Roman Republic, only senators, magistrates, and knights had the right to wear gold rings. Everyone else could only wear iron. By the time of the early Roman Empire, customs have changed and loosened, and the members of the higher classes could give a golden ring to a freeborn citizen of their choice, raising him in a rank to a knight. During Saturnalia, a gold ring would make a fitting gift. Marshall's ring epigram, speaking from the perspective of the ring itself, reflects fondly on the generous gifts of the good old days. Quote, in time past, friends often gave us presents, but nowadays it rarely happens. Happy is he who escorts is a knight of his own making. That is to say, happy is he who gave the gift of knighthood to his own friend. Wax candles and oil lamps are also popular Saturnalia gifts. During the dark days around the solstice, candles were reminders of the return of the sun after winter. In Roman homes, wax candles were placed as offerings on household altars to Saturn, especially during the final days of the festival. This was practical, too. Lots of lamps were needed to light the nighttime celebrations and the darkened days of winter. Terracotta lamps have separate nozzles for 6 wicks, allowing it to burn with the strength of 6 little lamps. The crescent-shaped handle probably refers to Luna, the moon goddess, and the semicircle of burning flames could represent the sun itself, maybe an eclipse. The god Sol. Marshall's playful descriptions of over 200 Saturnalia gifts included a lamp with many wicks like this and a bedroom lamp. I am a lamp, confidant of your sweet bed, it says. You may do whatever you will. I will be silent and keep a secret. Drinking parties were an important part of Saturnalia. A time to drink the most delightful drinks and to be acclaimed a better singer in your cups than the next man. In the words of the ancient satirist Lucian, in the ancient world, wine was almost always mixed with water and sometimes honey or spices, in a large bowl and then ladled into individual drinking cups. In the egalitarian spirit of the holiday, everyone rich and poor could partake. Even Cato the Elder, famous for his frugality, allocated extra wine to his farmhands, about 20 pints per person in today's measurement. During the festival. It's a lot of wine. This glass, pictured above from the Eastern Mediterranean, likely held many cups of wine and has a fittingly festive inscription. It reads, "Rejoice and be of good cheer." Besides flowing wine, holiday feasts often included cooked pork. Fattened pigs were popular Saturnalia gifts, as well as winter vegetables, dried fruits and dates, and sweet cakes. Saturnalia was celebrated well into late antiquity. With the rise of Christianity, the pagan holidays were removed from official calendars but carried on as popular secular holidays. Many of Saturnalia's traditions, which celebrate the hope of harvest and a bright future during the dark winter ahead, were incorporated into celebrations of Christmas and New Year to the modern man. The Getty Museum wishes you and yours a very happy holiday season. Io Saturnalia. And I only read that because it is written. And that was from Getty.edu. Getty.educational website. Now this is the last one I'll leave on. But this is to help spot people who are celebrating Saturnalia. This is help to observe them. This is forward observational knowledge, information. This is the data points. If you see anyone doing these things, assume that they are celebrating Saturnalia. And if they are not, know that they are celebrating unintentionally with the rites of Saturnalia. If you go to a Christmas party, if you go to your families for Christmas dinner, etc., and you start seeing this shit, look at movies, Christmas movies this December. Look at all Christmas celebrations in public, lighting of tree ceremonies, etc. Think of the Christmas parades. Think about all that shit. Just think about all of it. Christmas Simpsons specials, Christmas Family Guy, Christmas Santa Claus shit, Rudolph, Charlie Brown. Think of it. Think of all the fucking movies. Everything has a Christmas. There's Christmas King of the Hill episodes. There's Christmas Friends episodes. Think about every single fucking thing has these little belabored points of Christmas. That's because they celebrate Saturnalia. Because they're Romans and they're Phoenicians. And they're that system of pagan. It's So this is the guide to for celebrating and reconstructing Saturnalia today. Know the enemy. Where are the colors of the holiday? 1. These are green and gold. So step 1. Look for anyone wearing green and gold during Christmas. 2. Decorate over doorways, windows, and even stairs with greenery aplenty. Garlands and wreaths are ideal. Golden cutouts of the sun or golden pine cones, nuts, and acorns as decorations are recommended. 3. If you have living trees on your property, hang them with sun symbols, stars, and the faces of the god Janus, who watches over the end of the old year and the beginning of a new one. In Roman times, trees were not brought indoors, but were decorated where they grew, as cutting them down was considered taboo. It is also possible to decorate living plants in pots if you don't have trees. 4. Make cookies in the shapes of fertility symbols, suns and moons and stars, and herd animal shapes, or in the shapes of men. You can make your own cookie cutters if you're keen. Use green and or gold food colors or sprinkles. 5. If you are of legal drinking age where you live, make some Molson, a drink of wine and honey. 6. Greet people with a traditional cry of Io Saturnalia. Saturnalia. So Io Saturnalia. 7. Invite your friends for a feast and a party on December 17th. Saturnalia is a joyous holiday, and Romans shared it with friends and family. The more, the merrier. 8. Give small presents, including presents of food or sweets or candles or lamps. Attach a clever note or a short, witty poem to your gifts for accuracy. Read the Roman poet Martial, Xenia, and Aproforita for some authentic examples of Roman rhymes. 9. If you have a lararium, make sure it is clean. Safely light a candle there. Display and decorate a statue of Saturnus, if you have one, or a photo of a statue or a painting of him. 10. And the last step, celebrate freedom and destroy hierarchies. Saturnalia was a type of opposite day in which slaves could enjoy luxury alongside their masters. You may want to wear a pileus, a conical felt cap that in the classical world represented freedom. Remember, the pileus, the Phrygian cap, is the cap that's worn by Christmas elves, as well as the Santa Claus cap, which was represented earlier in the first article as a red, floppy, conical cap made of red felt or velvet, which is exactly the Santa Claus cap that people walk around with dressed like Santa Claus or a Christmas elf. And that is it. That is, you know, your enemy series on Saturnalia, Io Saturnalia, a satanic holiday that created the fucking Christmas tradition. So when anyone tells you Christianity, Christmas is a Christian holiday, tell them about Saturnalia. And if they don't know what that is, tell them to fucking look it up. because everything from Christmas cookies, Christmas trees, mistletoe, the Christmas lights, the ornaments, the angel on the tree, Santa Claus, everything is fucking Kronos Saturn worship. It's the Agrarian Roman cult that used to sacrifice human beings and deliver heads into cave systems, thinking that they were going straight to hell and Hades would be pleased, allowing spring to happen and everything, and let the earth goddess allow for the coming harvest season, etc., before she had to go back to hell. And so all of this is haram and should be treated as absolutely taboo by anyone who really seriously worships the God of Abraham. The billions of people on earth who say they worship God, either from the Catholics or the Muslims or any other Christian denomination, if they say 80% of the people believe in God, that is the God of Abraham, not a Buddha or the cults or anything like that, but people believe in an actual monotheistic God, know that Christmas and the entire month of December has been dedicated to the idol of Saturnalia, Saturn, and the idol worship festival that is Saturnalia. And there is no argument with that. That is the truth. Make of that what you will, and do with that what thou wilt. But as for me, I no longer celebrate Christmas. I no longer put up Christmas trees. I no longer engage in gift-giving ceremonies during December. I no longer wrap gifts. I no longer eat Christmas cookies. I no longer fucking even respect or look at Christmas trees, garlands, mistletoe, all that shit. Drink eggnog, Yule, all that fucking bullshit. Wear green or red, which is the replacement for gold, is the color red, but green and still stays. None of that. I wouldn't touch it. I spit in its general direction. Thank you all very much for listening to another episode, another broadcast of the Beyond Top Secret Texas broadcast by Tex. I'm Tex, broadcasting to you from the third coast, the coast of most, the Gulf Coast of Texas. It's my pride and privilege to be doing so. So thank each and every one of you out there. Thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your Cash App support. Thank you for your donations. Thank you for your support by liking, sharing, subscribing. Go ahead and watch as many episodes as you can in the archives this winter break into next year. That's what truly helps me, is when those numbers go up, when you download those episodes, when you watch them, when you share them, when you actually listen to all of it, when you let it play out, when you binge watch and watch a couple of them at a time and stuff. That really, really helps me out. Thank you, and that's free. That is free to do. So if you're listening to this, you already got to this point, and you're like, damn, that was good. Go on the archives. There's over 400 episodes, and I'll be trying to upload them as many as I can to keep them fresh and everything, but just scroll through the back or search within the channel some subjects that you might like, UFOs, cryptids, paranormal, ghosts, skinwalkers, etc., history such as this, and you will find what you're looking for. I guarantee it, over 400 free episodes, and we're just going to get more and more and more. You know, by middle of next year, we'll have over 600 episodes, and this is predicted. And then, by the end of 2024, beginning of 2025, we'll have 700 episodes, and we'll just keep rising and rising and rising. So thank you all very much for tuning in to it while you are and when you have, and, together we're going to do it together. This is a fucking wild ride. So thank you very much. God bless you and your families. Peace out.